You are listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. This is the Asheville FM News Hour. I'm news team correspondent Emma Hutchins, and today I'm speaking with Greenville, South Carolina-based activist and organizer Kimberly Smith.
I'm a community organizer and activist with the Answer Coalition and Students for Justice in Palestine and Jailhouse Lawyers Speak.
And this week is Law Enforcement Week or Police Week in the United States. And so you are working with a group to have a week of action. Is that right?
Yes, I'm the South Carolina representative for Jailhouse Lawyers Speak. And I have been the people that are incarcerated that are members of Jailhouse Lawyers Speak, you know, called for people all across the country to do actions to kind of protest Police Week, because we all know that the police are not some, you know, a system that we need to be praising. We actually need to be calling out the police and the system of oppression that they uphold, and, you know, the killing of Black and brown lives and mass incarceration and things of that nature, that the police have a hand in upholding this horrible system that we live in. So, you know, we decided to go ahead and do a week of events here in South Carolina and other places across the country to, like, bring attention to police terrorism and things of that nature.
You are having a week of action. It started on the 12th, so we're a few days in, and it goes through Saturday. Can you talk a little bit about what's going on?
Yeah, definitely. On the 12th, which was Sunday, which was Mother's Day, we had a speak out at Camille outside of South Carolina Department of Corrections on Broward Road, outside of Camille Graham. And we just kind of had like a little protest and rally, just talking about, we had a guest speaker, someone who was once incarcerated in South Carolina, just talking about the different ways that mass incarceration impacts women and trans women and things like that. And then yesterday, we had a kind of a speak out at the bus station downtown just to draw people in and to let them be aware of the 10 demands that are going on from the prison strike last year. Those 10 demands, we are still working to try to get those demands met for the people that are incarcerated. And tonight at the Five Points Fountain in Five Points, we are going to have, today is actually NECBA Day for Palestine. It's a Remembrance Day or Day of Memorial for those that have went through the NECBA when Palestinians were forced off of their land and out of their homes. So we are going to have kind of like a community event downtown at the Five Point Fountain, just celebrating Palestinian culture and, you know, paying homage to the NECBA, and also connecting how policing in the United States is just like policing in Palestine, and how we in the United States participate in the deadly exchange and have police officers trained in racial profiling and things of that nature over in Israel. And then on Saturday, we are going to have a Know Your Rights kind of performance art at Finley Park, where we're going to kind of do like a play production, kind of showing people what to do when you are being accosted by police and letting people know all the options that they have, that you don't just have to be, you know, you don't just have to get taken in or anything like that. Like, you have rights, so we want people to know their rights. We don't want people out letting police bully them and getting accosted by police. We have rights. Citizens have rights, and they need to know them.
Can you remind our listeners a little bit about this prison strike that happened last year, and tell us about the lockdown at the Lee Correctional Institution?
Yes, last year, in response to the murder of 7 inmates at Lee Correctional Institution, which was one of the biggest prison, quote unquote, riots in the U.S., there were 7 people that were incarcerated were killed. And so those, you know, the people that are incarcerated went on strike. They went on strike from August 21st to September 9th, and they had a list of demands set of things that they want met. And Lee Correctional Institution has actually been on lockdown for 300 plus days now because of the strike and because of everything that happened. So they have had those gentlemen on lockdown for 300 plus days. And so we're still just trying to get the strike demands out there, because especially in South Carolina, you know, Governor McMaster and Brian Sterling want to act like no one was striking, nothing was going on. And I'm like, I literally talk to people who are incarcerated to these men and women. Like, I know that they are striking. So this is just to bring awareness to the strike demands and to try to put pressure on McMaster and Sterling and everybody at South Carolina Department of Corrections to meet these demands. They're just asking for basic human rights, like the right to get an education, the right for Pell Grants to be reinstated so that they can go to college and get an education, for gang enhancement laws to be cut, the crime bill to be rescinded, things that are just basic human rights that anybody should want or need or anybody should have.
Can you talk us through these 10 demands?
I definitely can. Okay, so the first demand is immediate improvements to the conditions of prisons and prison policies that recognize the humanity of imprisoned men and women. That's pretty much self-explanatory. Inside a correctional facility, the men and women and even children in Department of Juvenile Justice, they suffer quite a lot. They some of them go without water. Some of them go without showers. I mean, they have enough money to actually upgrade these facilities, and they don't. They don't try to make these facilities livable or, like, livable conditions because they don't see people incarcerated as human beings. Number two, an immediate end to prison slavery. All persons in prison in any place of detention under United States jurisdiction must be paid the prevailing wage in their state or territory for their labor. This goes back to how much people incarcerated actually make. They are working jobs like at different companies while they are incarcerated, but they're only making like 75 cents a dollar. They're only making, the pay scale is just so small. They make nothing. It's enslavement. It's just new age enslavement. It's just a new way of labor. They make hosiery. They do all of these different things, and they're not even getting paid for their work. So how do you expect people who are working, like sun up to sundown, people who are working and working regular jobs and regular hours, but you're not paying them? So how do you expect them to save their money and provide for their families or provide for themselves when they get out if they're making like 75 cents or a dollar for working all these long hours? And then they have to pay for phone calls and all this other stuff. So they deserve livable wages. The Prison Litigation Reform Act must be rescinded, allowing imprisoned humans a proper channel to address grievances and violations of their rights. People are incarcerated, don't have really the freedom to voice their opinions about what's going on. They have no rights, basically. They have no rights. So they don't have a way to voice their opinions and have like a proper channel to say, this is going on, this is happening, we need this to be fixed, like other people that aren't incarcerated have. And that definitely needs to change. That goes back to the dehumanization of people that are incarcerated. Number four, the Truth in Sentencing Act and the Sentencing Reform Act must be rescinded so that imprisoned humans have a possibility of rehabilitation and parole. No human shall be sentenced to death by incarceration or serve any sentence without the possibility of parole. And I mean, that's self-explanatory. There are people serving sentences without a possibility of parole. That is ridiculous. No other body should be able to say that someone is going to die in jail for anything. They should, because they're not focusing on rehabilitation. They're focused on making sure they have enough people, bodies in there to do the work and do this labor for next to nothing, basically nothing. They're not worried about rehabilitation. Prison isn't rehabilitation. An immediate end to the racial overcharging, over-sentencing, and parole denials of Black and brown humans. Black humans shall no longer be denied parole because the victim of the crime was white, which is a particular problem in Southern states. That's another one that I feel like is self-explanatory. At this point, I feel like everybody knows that Black and brown and indigenous people get harsher sentences, and they get them even harsher if the victim of said crime was a white person. We all know this. We see this in the news every day, and it's obvious racism. It's obvious just a way to keep Black, brown, and indigenous people incarcerated and use them for labor. It's modern day enslavement. An immediate end to racist gang enhancement laws targeting Black and brown humans. Those type of laws that say like three people are considered a gang, those are just laws just put in place once again to criminalize Black and brown and indigenous people. Those laws are not put in place to save anybody or keep anybody safe. It's literally just a way to imprison and enslave Black, brown, and indigenous people. No imprisoned human shall be denied access to rehabilitation programs at their place of detention because of their label as a violent offender. So I know in South Carolina, because I actually had a conversation with Brian Sterling and the people at SCDC, if you're considered a violent offender, which to me, in this system, what is considered violent, a violent offender, if you're considered a violent offender, you could have done anything and they consider it, well, you're too violent. You don't have a chance for rehabilitation. They just lock you up, might put you in solitary for however long you have to be there. They don't even try to get to the systemic issue of why you this person did what they did. They don't bring the psychologist in. They don't bring all these ways of and tools of helping people actually get rehabilitated. When I was talking to Brian Sterling, they added like mental health issues and having proper therapy on site is like this huge thing, and it's just like unknown to them. They just don't have the money for it, but they have the money to build a Panther stadium here, but they can't get like real rehabilitative service to those incarcerated. And even if you are a violent offender and you did something, it's always a reason. There's always something that made you act the way you acted. And if they put more money into rehabilitation and therapy and all these different things and outlets, people would actually come out of jail and not come right back in, go right back in. It's number 8. State prisons must be funded specifically to offer more rehabilitation services. That's again, one of the main things that when I had a meeting with Brian Sterling was that they didn't have the money for real rehabilitative services. They couldn't find people that wanted to be psychologists in jail, which I know for a fact is a lie. I have, we know plenty of people who would be glad to work there and work in with people that are incarcerated. They just don't want to put the money into rehabilitative services because that means they would actually have to treat people that are incarcerated like human beings. And we can't have that now, can we? Pell grants must be reinstated in all U.S. states and territories. They don't have Pell grants, so that means that they cannot, they cannot pursue a higher education. I mean, it's a fact that if you give people the option to pursue a higher education, they get a better quality of life, and they do better in the world. If you're denying people education is a basic human right. So in my mind, if you're denying people Pell grants to go further and like further education and better themselves, you don't want them to get out. You don't want them to succeed. You don't want them to better themselves. You're denying them a basic human right. Number 10, the voting rights of all confined citizens serving prison sentences, pretrial detainees, and so-called ex-felons must be counted. That's one of the biggest issues. We have such a high prison population in the United States. The U.S., for one, imprisons more women than any other country in the world. The U.S., people are constantly getting shuffled into the prison system. The school-to-prison pipeline was set up just for people to leave school and go straight into jail. Like, that is what it is. And these people are counted on the census. They're counted when it comes to like politicians coming in and trying to see how many people are in this area to get their votes or how many in their district. They're counted on the census, but they can't vote. So look at all of those votes that we don't count. That's you can count them on the census. You can enslave them and make them do work, but they don't have the right to vote. They don't have the right. They have no right to self-determination. That's ridiculous. And that's another basic human right that they're denying individuals.
Again, I just wanted to remind our listeners that I'm speaking with Kimberly Smith of Greenville, South Carolina, an organizer with Jailhouse Lawyers Speak, about this week's National Week of Action Against Mass Incarceration and Police Violence. And Kimberly just read a list of demands that have been in place since a prison strike that started last year. So, if people would like to learn more about the work that you're doing this week and beyond, Kimberly, where would you direct them?
I would definitely direct them to all Jailhouse Lawyers Speak social media, which Instagram is at Jailhouse Lawyers Speak, Twitter is at Jailhouse Lawyers Speak, and on Facebook it's all the same. Also, I would keep a look. You can look at Amani Sawari. They are an amazing organizer and another representative for Jailhouse Lawyers Speak that also has all the information on the actions and also has other ways that you can help those incarcerated by donating and going in and giving money to these, Jailhouse Lawyers Speak, so they can have money to organize and organize themselves and fight against the system while they're incarcerated. But just keep a lookout on social media. Our social media is at PSL Columbia, PSL all across the U.S. are doing actions this week. Jailhouse Lawyers Speak is at the forefront. They are leading these actions from the inside. So definitely check out their Instagram, social media at Jailhouse Lawyers Speak, and get as much information as you can. And please, please, please support these individuals who are taking their, they're taking their destiny in their own hands, and they're organizing for a better life while they're incarcerated.
Is there anything else that you want people to know while you're on the line?
I want people to know that don't throw people away, or don't think that just because these people, these men, women, and children are incarcerated, these people are incarcerated, they don't deserve self-determination, they don't deserve freedom of movement, and they don't deserve rights. They are human beings. These are children. These are children, women, men, people. This prison system affects an entire, it affects all of us, the LGBTQ plus community, children. It affects so many of us. And we will never really truly be liberated until we first liberate those that are incarcerated. Those are some of our greatest thinkers, organizers, and they are human beings who deserve basic human rights. And we can't leave them behind in this struggle.
I can't thank you enough for bringing us up to speed about what you've got going on in Greenville, South Carolina, and what's happening beyond nationally in this movement. Thank you for your work, Kimberly, and for letting us know here in Asheville what you're doing. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Emma.